Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 17. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. This is the word of God. Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Amen. Please be seated and let us pray together. Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. You will bless your people who are hearing of your word. Oh Father, we pray that by your grace that word will be preached correctly. And by your grace that your people will see Jesus Christ and meet him in your word. And see the glorious sight, the picture of our salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Do you remember chapter 2, verse 23? When Jesus was an infant, he had to flee from Herod to Egypt. When he came back to Israel from Egypt after Herod's death, chapter 2 verse 23 said, and came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. He grew up in a town called Nazareth. And do you remember what it means to be a Nazarene? Do you remember what Nathanael said to Philip about Nazareth in John chapter 1 verse 46? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? What is the implication of what Nathanael said? A Nazarene, a person of a low status, a person of obscurity. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, living as a person of a low standing in this world. And now in our passage, he leaves Nazareth and goes into Galilee. He goes and settles in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. And do you recognize those names? The region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Two of the 12 sons of Jacob. two of the 12 tribes of Israel. These two tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali, settled in a region that is northwest of the Sea of Galilee. And Capernaum, a very poor fishing village, and it was located northwest of the Sea of Galilee. At the time, the people of this town were an object of most ridicule and scorn and despise. And the town was home to many Gentiles. So much Gentiles lived in the city that according to verse 15, it is called the Galilee of the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, again, see in what kind of city does our Lord Jesus Christ begins his public ministry. Our Lord, a Nazarene, begins his ministry in a city of insignificance. In the book of Matthew, we have seen so far many names of places. Our Lord was born in Bethlehem, and he fled to Egypt, and came back to Nazareth, and now he begins his public ministry in Capernaum in the region of Galilee. When we read the Old Testament, when we read the Old Testament passages that are related to the Messiah, what city is connected most to the Messiah and his ministry? As you know, the answer is Jerusalem. The Son of David will come to Jerusalem. The eternal temple will be built in Jerusalem. All the nations and the people will come gather in Jerusalem. And so on and so on. You will read so many passages like this. Then if Jesus is the Messiah, then should not he come to Jerusalem and do his ministry? But instead he goes to Galilee, very insignificant town. What is going on? It's as if Jesus is avoiding Jerusalem. Do you remember those Magi? Magi, they came seeking Jesus, and they went to what city first? Jerusalem. It's an obvious choice. And yet, Jesus doesn't go there. Well, he will go there to die. But what is going on? Well, here Jesus is declaring that the earthly Jerusalem is not the true Jerusalem. When the Old Testament says that the Messiah will build his temple in Jerusalem, it does not mean in earthly Jerusalem. Even as we worship our God, you know this, that we are gathered in Jerusalem right now. Don't think that this is just Long Beach. We are gathered in Jerusalem, heavenly Jerusalem. The Bible is very clear. Hebrews chapter 12 says that we are gathered in the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Brothers and sisters, do you see how all the Old Testament promises that were connected to Jerusalem are now completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ? Yes, the Son of David is the king in heavenly Jerusalem. Yes, the eternal temple is completed, is being built in heavenly Jerusalem. All the nations and people are gathered right now in heavenly Jerusalem. And so on and so on. The nation Israel and its land in the Middle East is no longer a holy land. Only holy land of Christianity is heavenly Jerusalem. It's heaven. And even by the cities that our Lord visits as the Messiah, we're learning that He is declaring that the earthly Jerusalem is not the true Jerusalem. Now our passage tells us that Jesus, He is going to the region of Galilee, but He is doing that to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. Verse 14 says this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. And verse 15 and 16, a quote from that Isaiah passage. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. Now these verses are a quote from Isaiah chapter 9. And what is the historical background of Isaiah chapter 9? Well, we need to go there together. Isaiah chapter 9. Let me give you a brief background. As you know, after the King Solomon, the nation Israel was divided into two countries. North country was called Israel. The southern country was called Judah. And as you already know, Zebulun and Naphtali, they are near the Sea of Galilee, so they are in the northern country, Israel. Now, the northern country falls first by Assyria. Assyria attacks and northern country is conquered. Isaiah is working as a prophet in the southern country after the fall of northern country by Assyria. So, Zebulun and Naphtali are in the enemy's hand at the time that Isaiah is working. Here, Isaiah speaks of the restoration of Zebulun and Naphtali, which are devastated by Assyria. So, the prophet Isaiah is preaching the restoration of these cities to the southern country. That is the background. Now, go to Isaiah 9. We're going to read from the verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious. By the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. So, God promises a restoration. But in Isaiah 9, God also tells us how He's going to bring that restoration. So if you go down a couple more verses and start reading from verse 6, very, very famous verses. I mean, you will recognize it so quickly. This, He promised a restoration, but He's also telling us how He's going to bring that restoration. And verse 6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us." Obviously, this verse is referring to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The restoration will come through this child, the Messiah. When He comes, the restoration comes. But obviously, if you understand that restoration in terms of this world, you're going to have wrong idea of that restoration. Like so many Jews at the time of Jesus, they misunderstand this restoration. They think it's earthly restoration. But let's keep reading. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." The Messiah is promised. The restoration is promised. Now, in our passage, we're seeing the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus Christ, He comes and He brings the restoration, the true restoration, the eternal restoration, the heavenly restoration. Restoration between God and His people. Now, brothers and sisters, how are the sinners described in our passage? Well, sinners are described as the people who were sitting in darkness, those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death. In Isaiah chapter 9, the actual quote is "people who walk in darkness," not sitting. But here Matthew changes it. The people who are sitting in the darkness. As time passes, sinners are much more settled in sin. Now this darkness, it is a picture of God's judgment. It was one of the 10 judgments or 10 plagues of God to Egypt. And Paul describes our salvation this way in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. The day of the Lord is the judgment day. And Amos chapter 5 verse 18 describes it like this. You who are longing for the day of the Lord, for what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light, meaning it will be judgment. So darkness, first of all, it is a picture of God's judgment. So these people, these sinners, are sitting in darkness, sitting under God's judgment. The Bible also describes sinners as the blind people, people who cannot see. Let us go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 verse 9. Therefore justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope among the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. So you get the picture. This blind person groping the wall just to know where he's going. But Isaiah connects that. Blind person is like a dead person. So the second expression, the people, sinners are described as the people who are sitting in the land and shadow of death. The domain of darkness is the domain of death. And this is the picture of us before we received our salvation. This is the reality of the sinners. They sit in darkness. They sit in the land and shadow of death. And that is the reality of sinners. But God promises the light to these sinners. God promises to rescue His people from the domain of darkness. God promises that the blind will see. God promises that the dead will resurrect. That is the content of the gospel. And He will accomplish this through His Messiah, Jesus Christ. The good news is that even though all sinners, including you and me, we sit in darkness, we sit in death, but God promises the light. Let's look at a few verses from Isaiah. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 verse 6. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. He is talking about you here is the Messiah. He will be the light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. This is promised from God. Chapter 49 of Isaiah, verse 6. He said, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." And verse 9, saying to those who are bound, "Go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Along the roads they will feed, and their pasture will be on all bare heights." And in chapter 60, verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." All points to the Messiah. The hope of the sinners who are sitting in darkness is the coming of this light that God has promised. Micah chapter 7, verse 7 through 9, "But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against Him until He pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me out to the light and I will see His righteousness." The hope of the sinners is this light that God promises. And that light has come. That is what you are seeing in our passage. That light has come. Yes, the people who were sitting in darkness, they saw a great light when they saw Jesus Christ. Yes, those who were sitting in the land of shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. Jesus came. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 4. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." Verse 9. "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name." In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." John chapter 12, verse 46, "I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." Coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the coming of this light that God has promised. Luke chapter 1, verse 78 to 79, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. As you see our Lord Jesus Christ, He starts this public ministry. You are looking at the sun of the new era rising up. The sun of the new era has dawned. The new creation has begun, just as what we see in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 verse 2, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. That is what we are seeing in our passage. Jesus Christ came as the light to the dark world to separate the light from the darkness. That is why what you are looking at is your reality. It is your story. You were sitting in the darkness, but you have seen the light, the great light. You too were the children of darkness, Ephesians 5:8. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You have been created anew. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6, for God who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. 1 John chapter 2 verse 8, the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Brothers and sisters, understand what has happened to you. You were sitting in darkness. You were sitting in the land and shadow of death. But what happened? The sun came up and shone upon you. You have seen the great light. This is your story. Acts chapter 26, verse 18a, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. Brothers and sisters, in Jesus Christ, you have come out from darkness to light. You have come out from the dominion of Satan to God. You must witness that reality, the reality of your salvation that our Lord has accomplished. He brought you out of darkness. Thus you no longer able to live like the children of darkness, because you are separated from darkness. Now, Jesus Christ has accomplished this. And let me ask you this question. How did He accomplish it? How did He bring us out from the darkness into His light? He who is the light went into the darkness for us. Upon the cross, He was treated as the child of darkness. And He did that in your places. He did that for you. when he was dying upon that cross, according to Matthew chapter 27, verse 4 and 5, now from the sixth hour, darkness fell. Darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. Do you see it? As he dies on the cross, what happens? The darkness came. What is the picture? He is receiving the judgment of God for your sins. To get you out of darkness, he now sit in darkness. He now sit in the land and shadow of death, so that you will no longer sit there. He enters the darkness of the tomb for you and for me, so that we may come out of that tomb, come out from that darkness, come out from the death. He shines the light upon you, because his death for you is not the end of the story. 3 days later, he was resurrected from the dead. He came out from the darkness to make us the children of the light. Do you see then what our Lord is doing? He comes to us. He comes to a place where we are, a place of darkness. He comes to us who are sitting in darkness, sitting in the land and shadow of death. He comes, he identifies himself with us. But he, 3 days later, with all of us united to him, together, he rises. He arise from the dead. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it? The eternal morning has dawned. Everlasting Son of heaven has risen. And that sun will never go down. It will shine upon you now and forever, so that you will never have to sit in darkness anymore. The morning of heaven has dawned. The beautiful morning, the eternal morning, and never again the night will come. That is what we see of our eternal home in Revelation. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. And the city has no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nation will walk by its light, and the kings on the earth will bring their glory into it in the daytime, for there will be no night there. Its gates will never be closed. Revelation 22 verse 5. And there will no longer be any night, and they will not have need of the light of a lamp, nor the light of the sun, because the Lord God will illumine them, and they will reign forever and ever. Understand, brothers and sisters, what has happened to you. What is your reality? And we must witness that reality. We must shine the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. What fellowship has light with darkness? Answer is none. What fellowship do you have with this world? None. John chapter 3, verse 18 to the 21. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Do you understand why the sinners will not come to Jesus Christ? Because their evilness will be exposed. Oh, then they have to admit their sin. Oh no, they will not come to the light. But you are different. But he who practices the truth comes to the light. And we come to light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. We come to light because as a sinners, if we do anything good, you want to show that it is God. So you come to the light. You come to Jesus Christ. You want to show to the whole world that your good deeds, if there's any, is His work. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, you, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14a, God says to you, you are the light of the world. It doesn't say, be the light of the world. It says, you are the right light of the world. You're not trying to be the light of the world. You're not putting your efforts so that you will become the light of the world. No, you are the right light of the world. Jesus Christ has separated you from darkness and made you the light of the world. And your job is to shine. Shine that glory. Shine that light. You have been invited by God to participate in our Lord Jesus Christ shining His light, the light of heaven, the glory of heaven, His glory. Exciting life we live. People who are sitting in darkness, sitting in death, is now called to shine the light. Not just any light, but the light of our Lord Jesus Christ, His glory. And this is your life. Verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what John the Baptist preached, but it is different. It is no longer a call to prepare the way of the Lord. The King of the kingdom of heaven is inviting his people to his kingdom. It is not just calling you to prepare the way of the Lord. Now Jesus Christ, who has prepared that way, He is the way. He is calling you, inviting you to His kingdom. You have been invited and you have accepted the invitation of God. And you have been gathered in His kingdom. And you have been made the citizens of His kingdom. Colossians 1:13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You come out of darkness, and where do you go? Heaven. The eternal city where there is no night. Eternal city where there is no darkness. And from now and forever and ever, you will never, never again sit in darkness. Because that sun that has risen on that glorious day, the resurrection day, that sun is shining and shining, and it will shine forever and ever. It will shine upon you. You are the children of light. You are the children of God. Yes, you have seen the great light. The Isaiah passage has been completely fulfilled by our Lord Jesus Christ in you. You are the fulfillment. The witness of that fulfillment. So brothers and sisters in Christ, shall we go out and shine this light? Wherever you go in this dark world, every corner of this dark world, let's go and shine. Shine this marvelous light. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We who were seated in darkness, we who were seated in the land and shadow of death, we have seen a great light. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, you have made us the light of this world. And Father, by your grace, let us shine that light. Shine so brightly that Jesus will be revealed, that Jesus will be witnessed. Bless your people, your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.